One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
What's going on, friends? And thanks again for joining us here on Expanded Perspectives with me. I guess I am the Corona Kid, Cam Hale, and joined always right here beside me that we've been chit-chatting before we fired up the microphone, mi amigo, Kid Dynamite, Philly Filson.
How's it going, everybody? Yes, I'm here. I'm glad to be here. I got me a body armor here. We're very refreshing. This is mixed berry.
Hey, what's your favorite flavor?
I would say the coconut pineapple.
Word, me too. Me too.
That's just my favorite checking. One.
And you know what? It must be everybody's favorite. It's hard to find.
My wife likes the tropical punch, I think it is. And Jacob likes grape. It's hard to find the grape one, too. What I don't understand is some of the flavors only come in the small bottles, but the other ones only come in the big ones. Like, you can't get every flavor in every size. At least I've never seen it that
yeah,
way.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't know why. I don't know if they're, like, testing these out, and if people start buying them, they make them in the bigger size.
Yeah.
I also tried this stuff called Liquid IV.
What do you think about those?
I really like it. I'm a big fan. I ordered them months ago, or not months, weeks ago.
Lord.
For Jacob, for baseball, because he's been playing a lot of tournaments and it's hot. Mm. We're not really supposed to be playing this time of year, but because of Corona, we had to push the season back. So it's really hot, you know, 100 degrees. When you got to play 3 to 5 games in one day in that kind of heat, man, he'll be drinking water all day and never have to use the restroom. I mean, he's just dehydrated. So this Liquid IV stuff, it's like a powder package. If you put it in a 16-ounce bottle of water, shake it up, it's supposed to, like, triple the amount of water. So when you drink one 16-ounce bottle of water, it's like drinking four.
Really?
And there's three flavors.
For, like, a hydration. It somehow gets in.
I'm telling you.
I think it
really works. Because normally, if I'm, like, driving around all day and I'm just slamming waters, well, then you got to use the restroom all the time. But, man, I've been drinking one almost every morning. I'll just try it when I first head out for the day, and I think it works. I really enjoy it. There's only three flavors. It comes in passion fruit, acai berry, and lemon lime, and I've tried all three. I think all three of them are good. I would highly recommend it. It says on their website you can get it at Target and stuff, but
this isn't a paid for sponsorship. It's just something he loves. And folks, it's warm over, well, at least in this part of the world. It's warm, so we don't want anybody overheating anyway.
Well, I know a lot of people, they know that they need to drink water. They know it's good for you, but they just have a hard time doing it. So if you're one of those people that, you know, I just don't feel like drinking 10 glasses of water, you buy some of this stuff, you only need to drink three. You know what I'm saying?
I mean,
I think it's pretty cool. I would get it from their website, though. I saw where it does say that it's at Target and things like that, but when I went to Target, they didn't have it, so.
Yeah.
It's pretty good stuff.
Get it from Target online or something like that.
I know a lot of people that actually physically go and get a real IV just to flush their system.
Yep.
Where it used to be like fighters used to do it, but then the UFC outlawed fighters from doing it.
Yeah.
Crazy stuff like that, which I still don't understand that.
Yeah, we need to knock off the weight cuts. That's what we need to do. Folks, we hope y'all have had a good week. Not work too hard. Not let the Rona quarantines get you down. We're more masked up down here. I see a lot more of it, but I'm feeling tip-top. There's still a few people I know of that'll pick it up every now and again, but I still personally haven't known anyone that's passed away. Now, I know someone, you know someone that knows someone that knows someone, or you hear the stories, but I don't know, like, a personal family or real close friend member that's passed away, but it would be horrible. So hopefully we're about past all this mess, but Kyle and I have got some interesting stuff. We had some other things planned. It didn't work out that way. Kind of fell apart. So him and I jumped together real quick, and we're like, look, let's just kind of do another OTC, but we still want to bring up some wild stories. So like everything else, we get involved into looking in the stories and it grows.
Right. That's what always happens.
Yeah. And you're like, I wasn't planning on, but talking about like one or two things and us, you know, kidding around. And then next thing you know, it's like, I think I got like seven stories I want to tell you.
Right. And then sometimes it's the opposite. Like you'll find like a really cool story and you'll go down and it's like, well, there's not much here. So I'll just look on the interweb.
Yeah.
Try to find it. And everywhere you go, it's the same story. It's one paragraph long. You can't really do an episode on that.
Right.
That's frustrating.
Yeah, without really, really working. You could do it, but you're going to have to talk.
Or you find a really neat one and you get into it for a while, and then about 2 hours into your research, you realize it's like a creepypasta. You're like, gosh darn it. It's not even real. No wonder I sounded like such a good story.
Is it real?
Yeah.
Kyle just showed me that video. I had no idea what it was.
What's his name? Archie Luxury or whatever?
Archie Luxury. That's it.
He's on YouTube. I don't know. He's this crazy wristwatch guy. And
I think he's been drinking a little.
Oh, I know he has. It looks like he just gets sauced and then turns on the cameras and starts talking about wristwatches.
I'm not hating. No, I'm just saying.
I think it's amazing.
Right? I'm just saying. Okay. What I wanted to bring up was this real quick. I say real quick. This is going to develop into something else. But okay. So play along here, folks. You'll remember when I brought up the creature sightings out there in Fort Stockton, right?
Yes.
The small hairy hominids that they said that they believe that the kid that was fossil hunting, his dad, his dad.
The little tiny hairy humanoids.
Yes. Yeah, like 2 or 3 footers.
And this was in West Texas, right?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. I'm with you.
In the Davis Mountains.
Right, yeah.
So Sharon Cornett that works out there and helps Lon and does all that, I guess she's the field agent or whatnot for Phantoms and Monsters down here, actually went and I guess spoke or called and spoke and went through the whole thing and had a discussion of the report with them. And so they did an update of it, and it is a little, she kind of dug out a lot more of the details of the whole story, right? So I'm going to read this to you, the sighting details. It was RG and his daughter, and it says, saw a 2 to 3 foot high creature as close as 50 yards away. He said they didn't look like a monkey, but I've never seen a Bigfoot. The four creatures had 5 fingers. They were hairy head to toe, except for their fingers, knuckles, and face. Their hair was not long, but one was more bushy-headed than the rest. Now, whether they were male or female is unknown, but it says the diminutive being stayed a safe distance away from them. But RG and his daughter both felt like they were being followed. So they first saw them a couple of miles or so out, and then a little hominid-like creature followed them out to the 3 to 4 mile mark, and then back towards their vehicle again. Said this happened 1 weekend after the COVID-19 lockdown started around April of 2020.
And none of them had a camera?
Yeah,
I guess not. No phone with them?
Yeah. And it says the area is flat and open, that there had been rain, so green shrubs and sage bushes were present, but no trees. The creatures were hiding behind the sage when he said, I swear to God, I saw something move. And his daughter said to walk backwards when they saw the creatures. The little guys rose up, looked like they were communicating somehow with hand gestures, but it was unknown if they talked. They took off suddenly, scattering. RG exclaimed, oh my Jesus, I've never seen anything close to that. And he wondered if what he saw was even real. So RG said to his daughter, or talked to his daughter, and it says that she replied, Dad, it's real. And he wondered, where could these beings have come from? And then later the creatures would come back together and begin following them again. They saw the creatures several times. Says, there was one, RG explained. Then here comes the other one. Then the other one. Then the fourth one. Says, I slipped and stumbled. But then they realized that we were facing them. So they dropped down and scurried together. And then I chased them. RG said he's 5'7" and 300 pounds. So he went after one to see it, not to capture it, but just to see it. And he said, the closer I got, the further away they would scurry. I couldn't catch them, and I couldn't get close enough. Said they moved as fast as a teenager in its prime. He said, I chased them about 3 times around out there. After about 4 or 5 hours, he realized it was getting late and that they had to get back to their motel. The creatures followed them back on their hike toward the vehicle. They had gone hiking out approximately 4 or 5 mile total. Now, Ricky said the area has nothing out there but scrub, but these tiny hairy beings followed them almost all the way back up to a half a mile from the road. And he said his daughter turned to see them and wave at them, but the creatures were gone. And now here's what said that they made a noise. They heard a chirping sound similar to that of a ground squirrel. And he thought that they were like ground squirrels back in Sweetwater, like prairie dogs.
Yeah.
But he had never seen them out there. He's like, I've never seen them. It just sounds like the ones at home.
Well, and there's so many cases of sightings of duendes mm-hmm. that the people will describe them as at first I thought they were like a raccoon or something like that. Now, and you've seen lots of video of supposed Sasquatch where they'll squat down to make themselves look like a boulder. And in the description of the four hominids, they described one of them as being bushier hair than the others. I wonder if it's like their natural defense mechanism to like get down on all fours or make themselves small. And if they're already 2 to 3 feet tall upright when they crouch down, it might look like the size of a large beaver or a raccoon or something like that. And then also, you know, I know what he's talking about. And when he says it's, you know, nothing out there but scrub brush and stuff, that's absolutely right. That's always been my argument is what are they living off of?
Yeah.
That's if they're physical, you know, air breathing creatures like Bigfoot, or are these like fae folk? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that's why they're messing around. They're following them, even though their people are back out of the woods. Yeah, they're always, because that's the thing with the fae folk, right? They're tricksters. Yeah. They like to play. I'm sorry. Continue your story.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Well, so they described the hair on these things and said that they were all reddish brown, except one was more of a fawn color. Says all four of them ranged between 2 to 3 foot tall. Says the faces. So this is what they talk about. They had a wide mouth, but they couldn't see any teeth. And of course, you know, he goes, I have astigmatism. So if I didn't have my glasses on, I'm not going to be able to see them out there. And he said broad nose, normal human looking eyes, dirty dirt colored skin, said kind of like a sandy colored, and says like the dirt that they were standing on. So it's probably for camouflage. It says the arms were normal size for their body, not longer or bulkier. Just this is the way they were proportionate. And they go on to say that they saw some footprints that looked like human footprints, as if a kid ran through the sand, small, like 10 or 12 year old. Said that they didn't count the toes, but they were bare feet. And the feet appeared out of proportion for their bodies, possibly bigger feet. Says his daughter is a size 5, yet theirs were close to the same to that same size, and she's around 4'10". Says the footprints were a little bit wider than a human's and appeared well used. Goes on to say that he said he wished that he had had his dog with him or a camera, but they didn't even have their cell phones along. Says what they said. They didn't even have them. Said no other unusual events. Said RG did relay this story, which also happened in the Davis Mountains, to his uncle, an ex-Army guy that is deceased now, and said since he had a similar experience, that his uncle said he saw pebbles bounce back and then saw a little creature. Said this alarmed him, so he took his knife out and it ran off. He was unsure if it was hairy or not, but his uncle had told him that it was a little humanoid looking or humanoid type creature. And when asked where his uncle had seen this little person, RG said that they had gone up the side of the mountain, maybe midway at the time of the sighting. RJ said, we must have been in the same area, because when he and his daughter had their little foot sightings, what they're calling it there. So they believe the same thing. They said the daughter is not comfortable at all discussing this, and because it's given her nightmares. Messing around with it is just, even, you know, kicking it around has given her massive nightmares about it, which whenever you've got one chasing, you're talking about a 14-year-old girl that doesn't have
her cell phone with her, which is very odd.
Well, you got to, the weirdest thing for me is, like, imagine what it's done to her. Like, her little world just got shattered by what she just witnessed. It's like, I saw something that you can't even explain. I mean, how is she going to wrap her 14-year-old head around that? Like, dude, I feel for it.
Because your whole life you're taught that there's no such thing as monsters and stuff.
Yeah.
But then when you see something like this, you're like, well, is that true?
Yeah.
Maybe my parents weren't correct, or my grandparents, or my aunt, or whatever. The aliens are real, which we now know.
Now we know, yeah.
Bigfoot is real. The fae folk is real. All of it's real.
So that led me to something that's known as the Venezuelan hairy dwarves.
Oh, these are like Duendes, right?
A lot like it, yes. There's a different variety. And they said they're a little shorter, of course, like you said, than the average human. But it goes on that they said they're not quite the same, though, as Bigfoot. So there's a little bit of difference. And this is one of those things that are associated with UFOs. So because of that story, I was thinking out maybe they don't live out there, not Fey, and not maybe they're alien. Maybe that's what some of them look like. You know, I know it drives Bigfoot or ufologists insane, but listen to the description. Hairy, ranging from black to red blonde in color, and with a curious stalky or straw-like appearance. However, they look malnourished, it says, and the hair can be prone to shedding, is what they're saying on this. Their bare skin is a pale, little bit colored on the bare skin. Chalky green is what they say. So, the sighting of these things that they saw that we're talking about, the Venezuelan hairy dwarves, took place on December 22nd of 1954 in Venezuela. It was a fella, Jose Ponce and Gustavo Gonzalez, encountered four of them while on a hunting trip in the Amazon.
I totally believe it.
Yeah.
I mean, look, pygmies are real, right? Yeah. You can go to the Congo right now. They're there.
I wish you didn't. Everything I hear real now is
now you're going to think of Archie
all
Lundry.
The time. Yes.
But you know what I'm saying? Like, that's a real thing. The Orang Pandek, you know, the skeletal remains found of that is a real thing. So I'd like, especially in the 1950s, I mean, there's still wild tribes living in the jungles of South America now.
Yeah.
I'm sure, or at least, I can't say I'm sure. I would like to believe that while they're out there hunting or whatever, they did see this.
Oh, I do. Especially in 54?
Yeah.
I mean, and I did the thing, but it's been years ago, is I would have to go back and look at the dates of when they were down there in the Amazon looking for Mokele and Mbembe.
That was in Africa.
Okay, so
this is South America.
It had to be in the 50s.
Yeah.
When they were looking for Mokele and Mbembe, right? Like in the Congo. That's right. It's in the Congo. It had to be around the same time.
Oh, yeah. I think there was still a lot of discovery. I mean, you know, like you've seen the famous Machu Picchu. That thing wasn't That wasn't even discovered until like 1911.
Well, hold on. We've got to use the term discovered very loosely because locals knew it was there.
Oh, sure. Right.
All of that. It just didn't become, let's see, more common knowledge like that. And I go back to this whole thing. Let me just go through the sighting. Let me give you the
LIDAR thing. And stuff that they're doing in South America. They're finding roads and remains of towns and big towns. So, go ahead.
The what these little things do isn't like what the other four were doing. And you're gonna like this. The dwarves were seen stepping out of a hovering craft. All right?
Okay.
And then they attempted to forcibly abduct two young men who were also out hunting. And it goes on to say that one of them hit one of the dwarfs with the butt of his rifle and broke it into pieces. They said like it had hit a rock, like he had slammed it into the rocks. A 1 meter tall dwarf, this is the eyewitness, mammalian, that does not wear clothes, is completely covered in stiff, bristly hair, and has three clawed, isn't that the ones they see out in Texas? We have the three-toed tracks, right?
Mm-hmm.
Three clawed hands and feet. The face has two large green eyes and no visible nose. Oddly wrinkled or folded skin and a wide trapdoor-like mouth without teeth. The creatures apparently have no need to eat, but when armed for conflict with other extraterrestrial foes, I don't know where this comes from, mounts a laser-targeted weapon inside this mouth cavity.
Oh, that's crazy.
The eyes have two concentric iris rings of glassy triangular blades around the uncovered pinhole pupil.
Well, you were going to say mounting a laser. I was going to be here. It's going to be on the shoulder like the Predator.
Oh, that's what I was hoping for, but it's like in his mouth.
That's crazy.
So I don't even know. Yeah. Look, the idea of these. So I was like, well, what could you possibly, like you were talking about the Orang Pendek, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, what could it could possibly lead to? Well, then there's a thing called the Agagwi, or the Little Men of the Forest. And the Agagwi is rust-colored, 1 to 1.7 meters, so 2 to 5 feet, tall, biped, reported to be seen throughout all of East Africa. And they're very, they say they have yellowish to reddish skin underneath very thick, that very thick but like fluffy hair. So it doesn't sound like they're bristly, but now these are still small, little. What we're talking about is different species of Ewok is what we've got going on down here. But yeah. The Agogwi, I'll give you a sighting of this so y'all can gauge it real quick. One of the best known sightings was near the turn of the 19th century with Captain William Hitchens. And he had been on a lion hunt. Now, get a little of this. An official lion hunt, says. And while waiting in the forest, looking for this big cat in this big open patch. So it sounds like, you know, it's all of it, just a clearing, right? He's hunting a clearing, and I'm sure it was probably baited, but who knows. And he witnessed these things, and he later described them in Discovery Magazine back in 1937. It says this, "Some years ago, I was sent on an official lion hunt in this area. And while waiting in a forest glade for a man-eater, I saw two small brown furry creatures come from the dense forest on one side of the glade and then disappear into the thicket on the other side. They were like little men, about 4 feet high, walking upright, but clad in russet hair. And the native hunter with me gazed in mingled fear and amazement." Yeah, so there's another... All right, there's another sighting took place. Now, this is to back it up. This dude's name is Cuthbert Bergeon.
Nice.
And he wrote a letter in 1938 to the same magazine, right? The Discovery magazine, right, saying that he and his wife had seen something. So this is just old school emails is all this is. He reads or hears a creepy story. He's like, he reads that and he's like, I saw that. Takes a year for him to get his story out, a lot smoother than now, right? Like you can... Now you can just tweet it, and then you can imagine waiting a year for a letter.
So. Right, there was these sightings, and it was a long time before they had actual proof of it. The same thing has happened with known species that we have now, like the mountain gorilla. There have been rumors about people seeing them for a while, but the first one scientifically discovered wasn't even until 1902.
Oh, the mountain gorilla?
Yeah, so that's not that far removed from what you say in the
30s. We're talking, yeah, we're, exactly.
Same thing with the orangutan.
Orangutan.
They were, you know, rumored to be seen in the islands of Borneo and stuff for a while until they were scientifically discovered that, yeah, they were there. So maybe these hominids are a known species that was just missed. You know, not diagnosed, but, you know, somebody thought they saw something that was something else. Or it's an unclassified actual creature.
Or it's the spinoffs of the Hobbits of Floriensis.
That's what I'm saying.
That's it.
And it's not paranormal.
It's
biological.
You would think, though, you would need a larger breeding pool, right?
But in those thick forests, I mean.
Maybe they are.
I don't think a lot of people go in there. I don't think because of all the dangerous snakes and spiders. I know I wouldn't go in there.
I know you don't know this, but you and I have discussed it about camera traps when they were looking for certain, like, you know, they're always looking for jaguars here in like Arizona and Texas.
Yeah, absolutely.
But you and I were talking, and I cannot remember what one of the animals was, but they were looking for big cats too, down in the Amazon, setting up camera traps. And you and I was joking around about how many camera traps could you set on trails. If I said I gave you 400 camera traps and I would go set them up, how much like acreage could you really cover in the Amazon to go, oh, we're good in this whole area? Because you could legitimately move those around section to section to section if you gridded out all the Amazon, and they could be something living in there that you would never get a photograph of.
That's why they're constantly discovering new creatures all the time there.
So again, I mean, couldn't that be like what you're talking about? These sightings. They could probably be there.
Yeah, millions of acres.
Oh, okay, let me tell you this.
Especially in the 30s. Well, this is in Africa, but same thing.
So the letter that was sent in saying he and his wife saw something. Now, he was in Portuguese, or East Africa, known as Mozambique, on a Japanese cargo boat, and his sighting took place in 1927. This is what it says. "We were sufficiently near to land to see objects clearly with a glass of 12 magnifications." If that's not some of the coolest writing... Like the way they described it, with a glass of 12 magnifications.
I'm going to start saying that with my binoculars from now on.
They're not 10 by 50s. They're 10 magnification by 50 magnification. You got to be real technical. So it says there was a sloping beach with a light bush above upon which several dozen baboons were hunting. Because that was another question I was going to bring up, because gibbons, you know, they look a lot like what they're describing. But it says that these were very, goes on to say that the baboons were hunting and picking up shellfish of crabs, and says to judge by their movements. And they were two pure white baboons among them, and that these are very rare, but I had heard of them previously. And as we watched, two little brown men walked together out of the bush and down amongst the baboons. They were certainly not any known monkey, and yet they must have been akin, or they would have been, disturbed the baboons. They were too far away to be seen in great detail, but these small, human-like animals were probably between 4 and 5 feet tall, quite upright and graceful in figure. At the time, I was thrilled, as they were quite evidently no beast of which I had heard of or known to be real. Later, a friend and big game hunter told me he was in Portuguese East Africa, and his wife and three other hunters, and apparently one of their mothers, saw a family of apparently the similar animal species walk across a bush clearing in front of them, and that the natives said, "You can't shoot it. Don't shoot it."
Yeah.
But again, they're talking about these little brown guys walking. Are they pygmies?
It could be. That's what I'm saying. It could be something that they're seeing that is a known species that they just misidentified. It could be something brand new that no one's, but the locals have seen it. They don't know, and they may not be familiar that the locals have a name for whatever that is.
What the fella saw hunting a lion most definitely wasn't a pygmy, but what this guy's talking about might have been, you don't ever know. It could have been, maybe it wasn't the exact same thing. But in the late 1950s, another sighting got reported by a guy named Charles Courtier, and he was a professional animal collector, and he thinks that he saw a gogwe in Zaire. Says it was caught up in one of the bird snares that he had set, but it escaped before he could get anything out. And he said it fell on its face, turned over, set up, took the noose off of its feet, and then walked away before any of the people that was helping could do anything.
Man, that's a cool story.
Like just slipped it off, got up, took off.
I think we say this all the time, and I think it rings true. Is like the natives probably don't freak out when they see them.
Yeah.
They're used to it. I mean, I haven't seen a jackrabbit in years, but when I was a kid, they were everywhere around here. I saw jackrabbits all the time. So if I was driving and you were asking me, you were from out of town, and you were riding with me, and I happened to see a jackrabbit today, I wouldn't freak out like, "Oh my God, that's a jackrabbit."
Yeah.
I haven't seen one in 10 years. I wouldn't. I'd be like, "Oh," and you'd be like, "What is that?" You'd be like, "Oh, that's a jackrabbit." It's the same thing. The locals there may know of these things. They're not freaked out by them. They've seen them. So what?
Yeah. Yeah.
But to an outsider, you're like, what?
You may have not small, seen it in a while, like you said, but you know they're there.
Yeah, it doesn't freak the locals out.
Like, I've seen it two or three times. But the stories they always talked, and I've covered the stories about like the giant frogs that they would see down there, Mokalium Bimbi, all these things. The locals never go crazy. They're like, "Yeah, I saw it once when I was like 15, and then again a few years later, then I didn't see it for a while, and then I saw it about 3 years ago." So I've seen it three times, in like 35 years. But yeah, I saw it clear every time.
And I don't care how many times Vice sends somebody to the Congo, or these people raise money to go to the Congo to try to find Mokalium Bimbi and stuff. You can't, just like that, you don't know when you're going to see it. And maybe that doesn't exist now, but maybe it did 40 years ago. But there are lots of those people in those tribes in that area of the world that say, "Oh, yeah, we've definitely, because we show them pictures."
Just like the rope.
Yeah, we saw a brontosaurus.
The Indaba bird.
Yeah, I haven't seen one in a while.
Yeah.
I think it's probably not possible now, but I would like to believe that in the 1930s it was. And I like to believe that it did happen, just because
I'm with
like
you.
That, right?
I'm with you. There's one more, and I'm not going to get into it right now. I may say it. We'll talk about another one. I'll let you do some talking. But it's the Nitta Ewo, and it's the Japanese version of pretty much exactly what I've been telling you.
See?
So they're on different continents, but yeah, it's basically the Japanese version of it too. And, I believe they've seen them in Sri Lanka. Like there's a bunch of them that's down in there. But yeah, like Sri Lanka's got eat up with stories about them too.
Man, that is super interesting. I love that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Before I get into my story, let's talk about our sponsor for today's show.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand-new luxury apartments. River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Check this out. We got an email from a guy named Dan Malone. This is pretty interesting. He says, I love the show, guys. I've been listening for about 3 years now. Never thought to share my little experience until hearing the July 30th episode that touched a little on sleep paralysis. Now, I'm from Dorchester, Massachusetts, a very old and historic neighborhood of Boston. Around 2005, 2006, my family and I lived in a triple-decker, with my family on the second floor and my aunt and cousins on the third floor. Anyways, I used to experience some pretty extreme sleep paralysis. For a few months, it happened fairly normally. It was always terrifying. But one incident I'll always remember. One night, I awoke completely frozen and unable to move, looking around thinking, oh boy, here we go again. My eyes were darting around the room when all of a sudden, I heard a whisper, a very faint whisper of a woman. It was in mumbles. I literally couldn't comprehend anything she was saying, but it gets worse. Out of the corner of my eye, I start to catch focus of something in my doorway. All I could say is it looked like a super dark, floating black cloud. Not a huge one. I'd say it only spanned across the top half of the doorway. I assumed that that was the source of what the whispering I heard. Probably one of the most terrifying incidents I've ever experienced. I always would just fall back to sleep, luckily. Now, during these sleep paralysis events, and this event was no different, after seeing this whispering black cloud thing, I woke up the next day being freaked out. I told my cousin upstairs what happened to me, and it was unnerving. Come to find out, he has been having sleep paralysis incidents too. His bedroom was literally right above mine. Was it a coincidence? Who knows? We even went so far as to research sleep paralysis. One logical explanation we found is that supposedly the electricity poles emit waves, and gas lines can also do the same. That may cause sleep paralysis. I just find it so strange that it was only happening to me and my cousin, who shared bedrooms directly above and below each other. We've all since moved, but it's a big question mark that we will honestly never know the answer to. It was spooky. Eventually, the sleep paralysis incident stopped for us both, thankfully. Another disclaimer: where I experienced these events was my grandmother's old apartment. She had died in 2004, not in the actual apartment, and we moved in after. She was extremely religious. She went to church every Sunday. She had religious statues and rosaries everywhere, the whole nine. My aunt upstairs is also very superstitious and told me whatever that was, it was not my Nana. Anyways, I just had to share this after hearing others who have experienced the black cloud too. Thanks for the awesome show, guys. Dan Malone. And I wonder, thanks, Dan, if his cousin wasn't Post Malone. I don't know.
That's right.
Upstairs. Yeah, that's a pretty interesting story.
Or Water Malone.
Yeah, I remember when we just did that episode not too long ago about the person seeing the black cloud, like by the chair,
mm-hmm.
and they couldn't move. And that's what inspired Dan to write this story in, because it's very similar. Now, you don't know how many stories we get sent to us that don't want to be read on the air or for whatever reason. And it'll be almost exactly like a story that we covered on the show. And I like those coincidences because there's several people experiencing the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And what is that?
Consistency.
Is that a demon that's forming in his room and it didn't fully form? Was it what's the old hag syndrome where it's a woman and you can't get up? I don't know. But those stories are very terrifying. A lot of the things with sleep paralysis is also with alien abduction, shadow beings, Hat Man. All those things seem to fit in a really tight category. And I'm wondering if this isn't just some sort of side effect to sleep paralysis, like your brain is releasing hormones or endorphins or something that's making you hallucinate these images. Or
maybe you've already, like, you've thought about it, so your mind's kind of preconditioned to go there, to instantly, like when you experience sleep paralysis, it instantly thinks that that's what's, you've kind of, it's, your mind's related them. So, like, right. If there's sleep paralysis, yeah. Have you ever had it?
Sleep paralysis? I have. But only, I would only say, like, 3 or 4 times in my entire life, where, like, I woke up. I
know we've talked about this before, but I can't remember.
I was like, I was dreaming, and I know I'm dreaming, but I can't move to, like, shake myself out of the dream. And then it's like it slowly starts coming, and it's like I'm churning butter, and then I wake myself up.
I've never had that happen.
It's only happened a few times, but it's weird because you're like, I'm aware that I'm dreaming, but I can't wake myself up. I know I can't, and you can feel yourself not being able to move. Yeah. My sister-in-law says she has it pretty bad. Like, it happens to her quite often. And I've asked her, have you ever seen, you know, aliens? Have you ever seen any black figures in the room? Or did you ever feel the presence? She told me no.
Yeah, see, you don't want to be family members of ours, because if you say you had something strange happen, Kyle and I are going to grill you real hard to try to find some stuff.
So. Absolutely. Well, you know, and when it comes to sleep paralysis, I've heard like that's one of the arguments. There are people that are against alien abduction. They're saying, well, it's just a symptom of sleep paralysis. That's why everybody's always abducted at nighttime.
Yeah.
But that's not true. There are abductions during the daytime. I know a person personally who was driving, say, to go fishing at a lake, knew where the lake was, knew how long it was to get there, but he experienced missing time in broad daylight. And this is somebody that I know, trust, and love. So it does happen. And I think now with the Pentagon coming forward about UFOs are from another world,
yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I think that's definitely changed my opinion on alien abduction. I mean, you called me the other day and were talking about these chips, people being chipped.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how do you explain these, like, tracking devices that they obviously find in humans?
It was real easy to explain it away as self-harm. Or, you know, there's all kinds of things that you could think that if somebody was really into it, we're going to put it in there ourselves, or we're going to do something. Then I'm not going to bring it up for 2 or 3 years. And then I'm going to start saying some stuff. And, you know, and I know some of them have been put in with no scars, like they can't find a scar. There's all these things. And there's always ways in my mind that I was like, it could be real. And then, of course, you know, it could be fabricated, you know, easily fabricated.
And obviously some of the stories probably were.
But it changed everything for me when the Pentagon released it, because it was a type of validation that they were willing to admit, hey, we're just going ahead and come clean. There's some stuff that we don't know what it is, and we got some of it, and it ain't from around here, y'all. So when you think of it now, like I said, it changes every story. And I don't know why that was, because there's people right now, I'm sure, screaming at the speakers and listening, that they're like, why did that matter? Why did the government? I would like to say it didn't, but it always does. When you get validity from something or someone that you believe to be in a seat of knowing, a seat of power, a seat of anything, whether it be law enforcement, anything, and I know it's just a trick, it's just the way it works, but for some reason, whenever they verified it, it helped me go, man, there's a lot more of that stuff that I think now. Like, you know, even if it was like, yeah, I was about 60-40 or I was 70-30. Well, now it's maybe 70-30 the other way. Now you got to be like, holy moly.
I'm 100%. I'm all in. I mean,
I know it's going to get crazier. And what I mean by that is there's going to be a lot more stories start coming out that are probably, you know, maybe more people are fabricating it because they know more people will now more openly believe it. I don't know. But I think that was a little hump. As you're climbing, that you kind of, oh, I get over that wall, and now I'm like, all right, I've got some open field to move, and I'm going to another wall. But I think we're going to start slowly seeing a little more and a little more. I don't know that they'll ever show them to us, but who knows? I would never think that they would say, hey, yeah, and they may end up having, this is what we have, y'all. This is what they look like.
I know, and so now it changes my opinion on all types of stories I've heard over the years, like Roswell. Was that a real thing? Well, you know, Bob Lazar apparently wasn't lying about the stuff that he saw,
yep.
Even though they've tried to discredit him for 30 years.
You know what?
He's never changed his story. How about the stories you've heard about the people that I used to work and they used to, it was like old school Photoshop where they made me take stuff out of images.
Yeah.
You've seen the ones that have taken from satellites or pictures of the moon. And you always heard these stories like, yeah, right. But now that the government is coming forward and said, yeah, these UFOs are real. I mean, maybe those people weren't lying.
There's a man, I'd forgotten all about those stories of those like that. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Maybe it's not BS. Maybe there's more to it.
I thought of you when I first started reading all that stuff, because I thought if the government's willing to tell these stories this long and just now tell us about they believe the same as we believe, when are they ever going to talk about the giants that the Smithsonian dumped off in the ocean?
I think it's going to start.
Because at first, folks, I'm going to be 100% honest with y'all. The idea of that story, I love, but deep down inside, I didn't believe it. I didn't want to believe that a true like researcher or scientist, anything, would compromise learning over their moral compass, right?
Oh, dude, it happens all the time. I mean,
but I didn't want to believe like it did. I don't know why I think it's more prevalent now than it was back then, but I just didn't want to. And then when I saw that, I mean, it hurt because then I was like, oh, it was real. We had all the evidence that we needed to prove all that you've been listening to us talk about, that all of us weren't totally insane.
No, I think there's a lot of stuff that's been covered up. I mean, there's proven now that there was doctors that would write a report saying, like, smoking isn't bad for you, make some money, and then years later they would be writing an article the opposite direction. They're getting paid almost, and these are people, like you're saying, whose moral compass is messed up. Because they're just doing it for money. And I think the same thing was happening then. I think there is still information, even now, showing that there was a race of giants on the earth. And I think we're going to get all these secrets because of how social media and things like that, it's going to start opening up. I think the kids coming after us are going to be a lot more knowledgeable than our generation. And I think just before we know everything, an asteroid will probably hit and it's going to reset. We're going to lose all the information.
And that's the way civilization works, ladies and gentlemen. Every time we get right up to winning the game, you get reset and you got to do it all over again.
It starts again. And that's just what happens, right? Then the Big Bang starts all over.
Yeah.
It's whatever.
What if you found out, and I know this is the answer, but what if you found out, like they came out next week and they're like, oh, by the way, y'all, Bigfoot's real too. We've known about him and we didn't believe it all this time until like Mount St. Helens. And with all the stuff that went on there, like that's whenever because we found them, we gathered up a bunch. If those Mount St. Helens stories are true.
I know. But the ones they found burned and stuff?
Yes. Yes.
I don't know. Man.
It changes everything.
It does. It changes everything.
It changes it all.
Yeah. Let's move on. Check out this story. This is a pretty interesting sighting a woman had about some black-eyed kids.
I'm out. I'm going to go ahead and get up and show myself to the door.
On her porch, she says, one evening in 2014, I was in my living room reading. It was around 2:30 a.m., and my dog went to the door like he had to go out. I started to get up, and he started growling at the door. Now, he has never growled at anything in his life. He was only 6 months old. Then my other dog jumped up on the couch, trembling and whining. Now, this dog, she was 6 years old. Needless to say, this unnerved me, since I was reading about creepy stuff, including black-eyed kids, and was already a little freaked out. So I just sat back on the couch and held my older dog, trying to calm her down. Then came a knock on the door. Now, usually when that happens, my dogs go wild, barking and whining excitedly because they love people. But my six-month-old puppy ran away from it and came over by me. Now, at this point, my heart was racing, and I just sat there terrified. All the lights in my house were off, and the curtains were drawn. I don't have a peephole, so I peeked out through the blinds of the window behind me that overlooked the porch. There were two boys standing there. Now remember, this is like 2:30 in the morning. I peeked through, and I saw them just standing there. One looked to be around, I'd say, 5. He was really little. And the other one was about 10. They had their heads down and were wearing winter clothes and heavy jackets. I thought this was weird because it's in the summer. Then they both turned to look up at me. Now, I don't have a bulb in my porch light, so I couldn't see their faces, but they looked directly at the window. Now, this freaked me out even more. So I moved away from the window and just sat on my couch. I sat there thinking I couldn't believe this was happening. I had heard that if you knew about them, then they would visit you. And I just kept trying to convince myself that these were just some kids playing a prank or something, that this wasn't really happening. However, this felt very real. Then one of them spoke. It sounded like it may have been the older one. It said, "Ma'am, can you let us in? It's really cold out here, and my brother is hungry." I, of course, didn't move, and I definitely didn't reply. I was immediately alarmed because I had no idea how they knew I was a ma'am. I just sat there on my couch. The voice sounded void of emotion and a lot more calmer and somehow older than the little person talking. What the hell would two young kids be doing out at this time of night anyways? Plus, it was June in Alabama. It isn't cold by any means. I felt this overwhelming sense of dread and knew if I opened the door, something awful would happen. I had read the stories and I thought, nope, not gonna answer the door. Forget this. It was really weird, though, because no matter how scared I was and how none of this made any sense, I almost felt compelled to go to the door, like I had some kind of urge to help them. I suppressed that thought the best I could and ignored them. Then the same voice said, "Ma'am, please let us in. I saw you through the window. I know you're there. It will only take a moment." And I was like, what in the hell is going on? What kid says that? I was frozen in fear and just refused to answer them at all. I waited for them to go away. I wanted them to go away. And I didn't dare look out the window because I knew that they were right next to it and would be staring back at me with those pitch black eyes. Then after a few seconds of silence, they started pounding on my window and I heard the same voice again. "Let us in. Please. It's cold and we have to call our mom. She will be worried if we don't call her." I honestly couldn't believe what I was hearing. At this point, I was almost in tears. I was so freaked out. My heart felt like it was going to burst out of my chest. I just stayed silent. Didn't answer the door. I just sat back against the arm of my couch and held my legs up to my chest. There was no way I was answering that freaking door. I stayed that way for about half an hour until I was sure that they were gone and everything was quiet. My dogs at this point had run into my room and I had to go get them out and hold them because I was just as terrified as they were and I needed some kind of comfort. I never saw the kids' eyes. I have no idea for sure if they were black-eyed kids, but I definitely believe that they were. I grabbed my phone and called my friend who had suggested I read the stories, and it woke her up, and I begged her to come please stay the night with me. After I told her what happened, she agreed right away. Well, about 15 minutes later, she still wasn't there. I started to get worried because she only lives on the next street over. It should have taken her not even 5 minutes to get here. Then at that point, I saw headlights in my driveway, and I looked out the window. I saw her get out of the car and run to my door and started banging on it. I let her in immediately, and she was crying and had this terrified look on her face and said, "You aren't going to believe this, but I swear to God I just encountered the two kids you told me about." She said she was at a stop sign and checked her phone for a second when this kid knocked on her driver's side window. It startled her, so she looked up, and strangely, the streetlights were out, so she couldn't see his face. But there was another younger kid right behind him. She said that she cracked the window, already apprehensive, and said, can I help you?" And the kid said, "Give us a ride," in a demanding, overly confident voice of a child. She didn't say anything, and the kid stepped towards the car, and he was close enough now that she noticed he had jet black eyes, wall to wall black, no white. She said she wanted to drive away immediately, but felt like she was being pulled into his stare, almost opening her door before she snapped out of it. But she didn't. She gunned the gas pedal and went straight to my house. We stayed up the rest of the night. According to the stories, they usually pay you more than one visit. So from now on, I'm going to start taking a ton of melatonin to knock myself out. Believe me or not, this really happened. On Stevens Avenue in Five Points, right here in Huntsville, Alabama. Lock your doors and windows and ignore any child that comes to your door asking for help, especially if it's late at night. OS. Now, that's a pretty crazy sighting, right?
Any of the black-eyed kid sightings, I'm out or it's going to get physical.
Man, it's just so
I don't want them anywhere near me.
And I know what she's talking about when she's talking about, like, if you start getting into researching this stuff, like, you're more likely to have something happen. I don't know if that's true, but I will tell you, when I'm up late at night and I am researching stuff that's creepy, I do start getting a little creeped out. Like, man, what is that? Did I hear something?
My mind. Plays way worse tricks on me now than it used to.
You know, it's late, it's dark, and you're reading something really creepy. Or like, say you're immersed in like just like that, alien abduction. Say that's this topic I'm looking at, and I'm reading articles on it, and somebody's horrific experience. Then you go turn the lamp off and go walk to bed, get in bed. There's no way you lay down and you're not thinking of that.
You don't just leave it in the book, do you? You're like, click.
I wish you could, but you'll get in bed, and you're like, what was that noise? What?
I wonder how
probably just the cat. And you're like, well, maybe it's not. Maybe it's a 4-foot extraterrestrial coming in here to probe me. You know what I'm saying? That's how people get accidentally shot.
Yeah. I lay there and you start thinking about, I wonder how they got in the house. Like, I wonder how they got in there to get them out. I wonder what it was like. How was it quiet? Was there light in the window? Is that light in my window? What's that sound? Is there a shadow in my room? And then it just like, all right, I got to get up, man. What is going
on? Dude, I'm telling you, a couple of years ago, I really did get freaked out. Like, I was sound asleep, laying on my side, and like Luke walked in my room.
Oh, dude.
And was like, dad, you know, he didn't want like a drink of water or something. But I didn't quite hear. I just kind of woke up out of my sleep, and there's a silhouette like right next to the bed. I was like, Luke, what do you do with that hammer in your hand?
Yeah. Oh, no.
Woke up with it.
It's scary, especially looking at, I think everybody that's a fan of the show, I mean, they all have read or watched stuff like that.
Brandon did that same thing to me when he was about 7 or 8 years old.
Terrifying, right?
I woke up and I don't know if he had been standing there and was building up the courage to wake me up. I could feel breath hit me in the side of my face, and I'm the same way. And it's poof, poof on my face. And then it's like that, a whisper. I come out of there on him. So I may or may not have gotten real physical real fast with him. And I'm like, son.
It's a reaction.
And then from then, I don't like to be woken up like that, period. So from then on, he would always like, and even now, he's almost 30, and he'll pull my toe. He's like, hey, dad.
Yeah.
But I freak out. I will. That sounds terrifying to me.
Well, and this is like another one of those topics where, you know, people will send in that, you know, like, you know, that's not real, that it was made up, that was a creepypasta or whatever. And I understand that the origins of the story may not be 100% accurate, but so many times when we talk about like tulpas and things like that, are people manifesting these things by dwelling on them? I think that people do that with poltergeist activity. I think people do that with, like, sometimes ghosts or whatever. If you're constantly dwelling upon it, you could manifest things or your own paranoia.
Well, and like you talked about, the more you look into it, it looks back. And everybody knows that when you get into the dark stuff, not just having fun, but the real dark things. Like, we have a few books that you and I have picked up over these last few years that I'm not even going to read. I'm like, we have them. It's more like having them in the book collection. But I'm like, I don't even want to go down that path, so I'm just going to leave it alone. But it's almost like you manifest them. You know, like, they don't even know you exist. But the more you start dwelling on them, they get that feeling like, oh, well, somebody's thinking about us. And then it draws them to you. Like, maybe you don't see them. It's not like you got to peel back and you're like, oh, I caught you. They don't even know you're out there. It's kind of like a shark. A shark doesn't know the fish is out there until the fish is bleeding. You know, he don't care. He knows it's out there. I see you, I feel, but I'm not coming for you until it's bleeding. And maybe you really digging in and thinking about this is the bleeding that it starts.
I agree with you. I mean, it could be just two kids out at 2 a.m. for some reason. They got their eyes tattooed. You ever seen those people?
Yeah.
You seen all the people that have like mistakes? with their eye tattooing. Yeah. I'm like, well, yeah, don't tattoo your eyeball.
Just because you can doesn't mean you should.
I saw one where the guy, he was half and half.
It's your eye.
I know. This half of his face was completely normal, and this half was tattooed like a skeleton, and in that eye, he had it dyed solid black.
That is pretty awesome. I'm not going to lie. That is Halloween. Pretty cool.
But, like, yeah, but...
But I mean, don't tattoo your eye. Like, I can't even imagine that.
I can't imagine.
I mean, I'm all for, like, all of that. Your freedoms of any sort. Like, I get it. But don't tattoo your eye.
Not your eyeball. Like, you know, a sight is something you really don't want to lose.
Like, you could lose a finger. You could get, like, a bad tattoo infection and get a skin graft. A bad eye infection, man. Like, it may be gone. You may mess around and it's just not... You don't have it no more.
Yeah, why don't we have cybernetic eyeballs. They haven't been able to figure that out. Like, you have like a robot eye. I can switch like into infrared. I can switch to heat sensing.
I think that's what's coming. You and I have discussed FLIR. I think that's what's coming.
Like, oh yeah, I can see FLIR.
Yeah, like I can't see all the colors. How come I can't get something done to where I can see, like anybody?
Yeah, like me and you both are colorblind. Yeah. You're way worse than me.
Where you can just fire it up and I'm like, dude, I got all these awesome colors I can see now. Or like you said, you can see in the dark. It's generated off your own body's electricity.
It doesn't even have to be perfect. Like, you know what it looks like when you look like through really good binoculars, like some Swarovskis or something? On a full moon, how much brighter it is through good glass? Yes. Couldn't they improve my lens? So I'm not truly have night vision, but it's greatly improved night vision.
I want your night vision to be that old Vietnam, like, green, fuzzy vision.
Oh, God, yeah.
Like, I don't even know how you see. All I can see is bushes and darkness. Like, it doesn't help.
Recently my little brother had bought a new scope for one of his rifles for varmint hunting and stuff, and it was showing me, and it's like FLIR where you can change it where the
did he get a pulsar?
Heat signatures are white or black. And I was looking at it, where was it? It was a 4th of July. And that's the first time I've looked through one of the new generations. I mean, that thing is awesome. It's like
they're crystal clear.
Crystal
aren't they?
Clear.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Blake's my nephew's he's got one.
It's amazing.
Blake's got one where you can adjust it like that to where it's the dark, I believe, the dark heat. And everything, it's ridiculous.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. It's ridiculous. Pretty ridiculous. What's also ridiculous is on last week's show, you were talking about getting people to send their reviews in. Like, what kind of.
Oh, yeah.
Tell them. They got to keep that up. And that is hilarious. People just.
Like your favorite dinner sandwich. I was like, and there people are like posting about beers and different drinks and food. Let's see what we could do now. Because those were funny. I'll get those together next week to talk about some of the crazy ones on there.
Let's do like favorite pizza toppings or something.
How about favorite? All right, everybody. Favorite movies.
Yeah, there we go.
Like just post it up like 5 stars. You want to comment something? Like, I don't know. We'll just pick one. The Titanic. That's Kyle's. So you can just jump on that one and go. Or The Notebook. Kyle's got like several copies of The Notebook, which is weird. But one of those. Yeah, like that. And also, too. I was not aware, and Kyle had to call me, overly excited, which he usually calls me every day, and we BS, but he was overly excited. And so if y'all aren't aware, I'm going to share this because he's been giddy about it all week. Every episode of Twilight is now on Amazon Prime, so y'all can watch that too.
I was like, where's he going with this? I don't remember calling him and talking about a movie. That is a good one. Well, if you have a good one and a good story you want to share with me and Cam and the listeners, please don't hesitate. Email the show, expandedperspectives@yahoo.com.
Hold on. Yep. Since this is more of an OTC, I have a joke for you guys.
Go for it.
And I'm sure somebody's going to find a reason to hate this joke. But it's okay, because I've told another joke and got hated on for it anyway. So I told this joke to one of my nieces and my son. We were playing disc golf, and they were standing around out there. And I said, did you know that there was a little boy born during this pandemic? And he was born over there in the hospital over there, and I used the name and all that. And I said, he was born without eyelids. And they were like, no, that's awful. I go, yeah. And I said, but I'm going to tell you something straight up that sounds crazy. But they used the little fella's foreskin to make him eyelids out of plastic surgery. And my niece was like, that's amazing. I said, they said he'd make a full recovery. He would just be cockeyed most of his life. And for that, folks, we are out of here. Peace, y'all.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.